Friendly Geordie's last minute podcast, where I thought that you were coming up to Lithgow, Ali, but then last minute you said, well, I do have a couch.
And I do have mics now. And fuck Lithgow, I've had enough.
I don't know how you could have enough of a place where the air smells like sulfur all the time.
But, no, but
yeah,
I
each to their own.
I must say, you know, some things in life you think are a bad deal and then you realize they were just a blessing in disguise. Lithgow is one of them, because I had to travel every week 2.5 hours away into the mountains, and then realized every week I have to go to the mountains. It's beautiful. And it's also quite refreshing being out of the city. So, you know, it's like your mom's medicine. Yeah, it sucks, but it does good for you.
I don't know if I'd give it the same rough treatment as medicine. But on closer reflection, when I think about it more, yep, spot on, Ali. So what are we talking about today? Because I don't even have a rundown sheet in front of me. Look, I'm pretty sure all you did was, this is low. We're just ABC hosts now. You've just wrung out an article from the Sydney Morning Herald, and we're going to talk about that for the next hour.
Yeah, we're going to... Hey, it's an important issue. So, but first, we play a game. So we're going to come down to the Longman by-election, because, as you know, what's extremely important is a bullshit election just before the federal elections.
Sounds like good listening.
But hey, hold up. Career Mail said that it is the most decisive election of our times.
Bullshit.
I don't know. But more to that later. More about that later. So the first is...
We need to sideline that. Because what's even more important than the most important election of all time is what song used to be cool but is now funny.
Yeah, so we're gonna go back to the times of Dare We Smile. We're going to continue on audience request. We're going to continue doing the, I can see him play that. But
the original.
But I feel like...
With the host that shall not be named. That every time I do a stand-up show, someone goes, where are those two guys? And then I say, do you like the other guys more? And they always say, yeah. I'm just wondering if they're alive or not. And the answer to all of you is, I don't know.
So we're going to keep that one when Miss Love is here, because Danny DeVito is the best answer to everything. It's weird how we're waiting for him when we know what the answer is going to be. It will be Danny DeVito.
I know. It's the most suspenseful game show at all time. Can he keep the 100% ratio? No, who's that? We'll be back in a second. Hold a hide.
And we're back.
That was the best sell I've ever heard in my life. I just gave the usual, I was just on my way out excuse. And then he goes, would you be interested in solar panels for no money at all? I think the answer to that is yes, right?
Yeah, clearly.
You can't say no. How do you say no
How
to
do
that?
You say, especially as Friendly Geordie's, the man who single-handedly launched a crusade in favor of solar panels, dodges an Irish salesman.
Is secretly very pro coal and really pro gun. Terrible combination for that door salesman.
Yeah, where was he from? Where was that accent from?
I courageous. I would guess Scotland, but it's really. I'm a very lazy English speaker, I'd imagine. I reckon I'm the same as Koreans, where it's like all Westerners sound the same.
How depressing is that job? I know someone whose first job was to sell tires door to door. So he would knock at people's houses and be like, do you want to buy car tires? He did that for a week. He made one sale. And the interesting bit was the person that bought those tires didn't have a car. So he just walks up to this house where this lonely, depressed man was sitting by himself, and my friend decided to talk to him for about 20 minutes, and as a result, sold...
Out of pity,
four tires that he didn't know what to do with because he didn't have a car. God,
that is the Denos Direct business model summed up.
It's,
they can be decorative donuts, just like how you have plastic grapes, some people do.
Yeah, real depressing. But okay, so the first segment that we were gonna do is Bring It Back, Dare We Smile. So we're going to play a song, both of us.
And we'll see if I can remember the scoring cheat sheet correctly, which I can remember half of it. A mango is 10 points. And then there's going to be some diehard fans that wrote, it's a grape. A grape is 1 point. So just to mess with you guys, I'm going to choose exactly what I know it's not. A piece of popcorn.
What? Good idea. Okay, so I'm going to play mine.
Yeah. Right? And like that, as if by magic, everyone listening has been teleported back to year 6 formal, thinking, that's it, I'm going up to Shirley to ask her out, and then asking her much uglier friend to dance.
Who would also, did she say yes?
No, she said no as well.
Oh my god, so there's no way anyone's getting it. So what, year 6 formals, are you supposed to get a date in Australia?
No, you're supposed to ask the girl to dance at year 6. By year 10, you're supposed to have grown some level of testosterone to ask a chick out.
Okay, did people have if you didn't have a date, did you still go to your formal?
Yeah, you still went. It was just sad.
Okay, tell me about, wait, first of all, that song brought only half a smile, so I guess I get like half a popcorn.
Yeah, you get half a piece of popcorn because, but the other reason that it was a half smile is because it was a pretty painful memory.
That's all. Yeah, I just remembered that and the chicken song from my school parties as well. But okay, so did you get a date in year 10 formal?
That was a pathetic story.
Go on.
The girl liked me. I asked her out because I had a crush on her as well to go to the formal, but not to be my girlfriend because I was too scared to do that. Then my friend, who's got a habit of this all throughout my life and everybody else's life that is in our circle of friends, this little fucking buzzard of a man of dates just swoops in and steals yo girl at the last minute.
Oh my god. Wait, who was this? Was this like a close friend?
I'm not naming names.
No, okay, don't name names, but was this like a close friend? Please tell me it wasn't your best friend.
Yeah, it was one of my best friends. And he does it all. He did it to Miss Love as well. He's done it to this whole circle of friends.
Oh, is
it? The only one that had one up on him is Torbs, the guy that's in episode 3 of Yulmaz, who, while they were breaking up after 2 years, and I was, Torbs got his dick sucked by that chick in a hammock, and it was at that point that I thought, oh, I probably dodged a bullet.
Yeah, dude, I have an exact same story. Unfortunately, it was much later in life. I remember seeing this girl. Oh, she worked at me when I first joined Dan Murphy's.
Yeah.
She was working there. I was like, oh, actually, I think she's kind of cute. So I decided to ask her out. Well, now I can say luckily, she said no, straight up, which was like, I was like, ah, that sucks, whatever. But then I found out that she's constantly infected with some sort of STD. She's a sex addict. So this is what she tells me. She says, you know, I figured out how to make Tinder better. I was like, what do you mean make Tinder better? It's like, so
no condoms.
It's not, well, never. But she was saying that instead of like, so if some guy would hit her up on Tinder, you know, the normal thing is one night stands, right? So you'd go out for a bit, then you'd like end up at someone's house and you fuck each other's brains out. But she was saying, I just skip the whole dinner bit. It costs money. It's annoying. So when someone hits me up on Tinder, I just go to their house, have sex with them, and then leave, and then go up to like the other Tinder guy that I've been hitting up. So I was like, well,
wow, that is a sex addict.
She's not even
satiated by one cock a night.
She's basically like a free prostitute at this point. And she also said that she doesn't enjoy one night stands or like just hooking up with one person anymore. So what she does is she finds someone on Tinder, they go out to an orgy. And she knows all like different orgies that are happening all over the place. And she tells me all these vivid stories about like two guys trying to have anal sex with her at the same time. So,
wow, that exists.
That exists.
People so, try to cram in the same hole.
Well, they try to do that, and then like they go like, okay, just quick turns.
Oh my god!
And that's when
sperm wars.
And that's when I said, yep, dodged a bullet there.
How good is it that, like, the story of, all right, so she's having sex with three guys a night, unprotected. No, no, there's still some promise of that. All right, anal sex with two guys at the same time. No, no, yeah, no, that's too far.
And
the man has to have his limits.
And she and the funniest thing is, like, she only got, oh, and the best, dude, her family is, like, extremely conservative Jews.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So the ones that have like the really long sideburns.
Oh, yeah, that's beyond conservative. Yeah, so they're zealots.
So basically, so that's what. So this, she was telling me like how she went onto this path of her sexual escapades, and it was because first of all, when she was growing up, she was really fat, and then she lost weight. And had sex once, and then realized that was the best thing ever. So she her family doesn't really like. They know that she sees people, but basically, if she even thought of like ending up with a non-Jew, her family would disown her.
Well, so Jews are okay with casual sex.
No, they don't know that it's casual. All they know is like she's maybe seeing someone, and it's like a really adorable high school sort of a thing.
Okay, so like dating in the world of the nanny.
Yeah, yeah, but she's basically like
she is the nanny, right? Does she have a horrible voice?
Good question.
It can't be as bad as "Oh, Mr. Sheffield."
Dude, nothing.
That sounds like if a clam could talk.
Nothing is worse than the nanny's voice. You know?
Yeah, I don't think that. Oh no, maybe that guy that plays the parrot in Aladdin. Get out of here, Jafar. That voice is. How is that a famous voice?
Dude, that voice is the reason why he's funny. Because if you ever watch a stand-up show,
yeah. He
doesn't do... He just tells one-liners. That's it. He'll just, like, knock-knock jokes. And he's like, his face is always like someone squeezing lemon juice into his eyes.
Yeah. And I'll admit, that is a pretty funny gag for about 45 minutes. But you have to pad out an hour.
Which is why it didn't work. The model doesn't work. For 45 minutes, it's good, but like a stand-up show is for an hour.
Yeah.
So
it's good for the novelette of stand-up, not a novel.
Whatever happened to Gilbert?
Is that his name?
Gilbert Godfrey.
I just, look.
He's making vacuum cleaners.
It shouldn't be a question of, like, what happened to this man. The question should be, how is he famous in the first place?
Because of that voice.
But that's a sad world we live in. That's a reason that you should have millions of dollars because your voice is shit.
Hey, the Elephant Man had a shit face, and he's remembered till this day. A bad voice. Oh, he's like,
hey, yeah, you're right. He's got okay. That puts it all in perspective. So he's just the Elephant Man of voices.
Yeah, he's the Elephant
just
Man.
Just the worst voice. That does deserve to be acknowledged.
Yeah, that does. And also, the nanny had a very annoying voice, but in her younger days, she was a looker.
I mean, even in the old ones, you'd be like, oh, yeah, if I was plastered.
Is it weird that I don't care if I was plastered or not?
Yeah, that's pretty desperate.
Whatever.
Because she... such awful skin. All
right,
anyway.
Okay, your song, Dare We Smile. All right.
I'm such a bitchy gay man, but I'm not gay.
But put your mic towards your computer when you play it.
That's right. All right, so feast your eyes on this. Just to, we're ahead of schedule here, only 14 minutes into the podcast and almost getting to a real segment.
It's a tradition now, so we've got to do it.
All right, here we go.
Don't ya, man?
That stupid sax.
This song reminds me of illegally driving as an underage kid and blasting this music.
Oh, gangster dude. Especially, yeah, it's got Buster in it. It has to be.
Pussycat Dolls. Is there any other song by these girls that is worthy of knowing?
Dude, they're all hilarious. The Pussycat Dolls has to be one of the funniest bands ever.
What happened
to
them?
Listen to this. Listen to this shit. Like, fucking the main one that was clearly way hotter than the other ones. The other ones, it's just like, you're hot because you're on screen for half a second. It's just an entire band of Joey Fatone's from NSYNC.
Yeah, they've cloned the system. Because it takes a second to figure out for a man if you're hot enough, and they go away in half a second so the brain can't compute.
But like, come on, check this out. That's the chorus.
It's classic.
That's the chorus.
Get away, Stairway to Heaven. We've got a new classic.
It has to be. It's the Pussycat Dolls' Feet Will I Am. We all know made the most hilarious song of all time, which was the E.T. remix. I mean, sorry, like this game is overkill at this point. We found Nirvana.
Yeah, with true. There's nothing else funnier than that. Oh, wait, what about Just Do It?
Nah. Not even close. Not even Damn. Close. It's a distant second. Will I Am is the Usain Bolt of shit musicians.
Oh, man. I watched this pointless TED Talk about Usain Bolt. It wasn't even by Usain Bolt. It was about Usain Bolt.
There was some German that was bald, wasn't it?
Close enough. Mm. I think he was from Iceland, and he was bald.
Here we go. Yeah.
And his whole thing was, Usain Bolt finished his 2008 race in whatever, less than 10 seconds. And a man named, I can't remember the name now, did it in 12 seconds in 1955. So the question arises, are today's athletes really better than the athletes of yesteryears?
And what was the summary so I don't have to watch it? Because now I'm sort of curious.
They're saying that they're the same.
What?
Yeah.
But they're not the same.
Okay, so his argument was that, okay, so, I mean, what you do is, he sort of showed a graph of like how further away that 1950s man was from Usain Bolt. And then he was like, okay, so you've got to change the pitch that they're running on. Now all of the groundwork is sort of designed for maximum athletic capabilities. Before that, they were like kind of going against the grass. And now every fiber of the carpet that they put in is designed to help you push forward. The shoes that they were using are extremely, like, they're really cool. And he was saying, like, Usain Bolt before the race had like a 10-day diet regime. That guy had a fish and chips lunch before he went on that race.
So he is faster.
Well, what he's saying is that, and then he was saying, like, oh, the training is now way better. And the example that he gave was, you know how, like, you, if you get like an electric shock, sometimes you can literally fly across the room and hit the wall. And he was saying that that's not the electric shock, it's the ability within your body to do it. The only reason your body doesn't allow you to do it is because you'll like break your bones, your muscles will go crazy. Like it's not healthy to do that all the time. But what he was saying is that with training, you can train your mind to like untap these miracle things that you can do. And so modern athletes with the new sort of athletic training regimes that they have are able to tap into these superhuman abilities. But what he's saying is that athletes today and athletes of the yesteryears are pretty much the same.
Okay. I'm pretty sure, yeah, at the end of that TED Talk, though, he was just like, so in conclusion, Usain Bolt is taking steroids. Do you think he is? Surely.
Man, you know what? Apparently what you can do is, like, if you get caught taking steroids, you're a dumbass. Because the way they can manage it is that it stays within your system for a certain amount of time. You basically know when your tests are going to be. I wouldn't be surprised if he was. I don't know, man. Like, who knew, like, that cancer cycle dude? Was on steroids.
Cancer cycle, man.
What's his name? Livestrong Band.
Yeah, yeah. It shouldn't. His name's not important. The point is that he should be remembered as that.
What
Cancer Cycle Man.
Cancer Cycle Man. Running away from cancer. That's a
nice direction from Marvel, isn't it? I would want to see that superhero film.
Yeah, he's
flying. What's his superpower that he's like slightly faster on a cycle than other people?
Yeah, no, he's like Popeye, but the only thing is he takes an injection, not spinach, and then he becomes crazy.
Yeah. But he's still much slower than a car.
Yeah, like RoboCop. The kryptonite is unplugging the robot.
Yeah. No, his kryptonite is heels. He's just much slower for some reason. So what are we looking at? Because I'm just seeing this picture of a chick that looks like a murder victim on Sydney Morning Herald.
That's one of the candidates for Longman by-election from Australian Country Party.
Can people in rural Australia get photos that look like they were photographed after the year 2005? Yeah. They always look like they were blown up in that nightclub in Bali.
It legitimately looks like a picture taken from your phone.
Yeah.
Which I think from 1925, just after Depression, they decided if we can come out with a better phone, we can reverse this economic turmoil. Jordan still carries around a brick phone, which is admirable, but at the same time, how often do you get lost?
Constantly.
But
you know what's incredible? There's this little trick that people have forgotten because they've been on their iPhone for so long. Here's what you do when you're lost. You ask someone for directions.
Oh, but that means I have to interact with human beings.
Which is, and you know, like I'm as petrified as everybody else. That's why you always look for beta males, I guess.
So what you can act up like.
You never walk up to an alpha and ask for directions, do you? It's always some guy with his head down.
Yeah, and also some of your fans are like straight up. So Jordan and I just went for lunch to a shopping mall in Zetland. And a man who normally, I'm assuming, beats people up for a living.
Yeah, he'd have to be.
Rocks up. Wearing his, obviously, lad clothes, which is what Puma, joggers, not even sneakers, joggers, like sweatpants, cap, hoodie.
Shaved head so you can't grab onto anything.
And he comes up to me, and because he looks at me and is like, "Your mate." I was like, "Oh, fuck, thank God it's about my mate and not me." It's like, "Your mate." And then he looks at me, he's like, "I've seen you on the computer. Is that what?"
Yep.
"I've seen you on the computer. Big fan."
Not even the net.
Not even the computer. And that made me feel so happy. Not because you have a fan, but because that man wasn't there to beat us up.
But he didn't mention any of my work, so maybe he actually was talking about the computer. Has like a Windows 95 and plays Age of Empires and just thinks I'm one of those little hoplite men that gets killed.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. What do you think his favorite thing to do in the world is play D&D?
What's D&D?
Dungeons and Dragons.
There is no way that man even knows what Dungeons and Dragons is.
So what's his favorite thing, like, besides ripping bongs?
I don't even think he's into bongs. That guy's into pumping iron, getting really angry at vegans.
They're destroying the planet. Like, damn,
and also just like, you know what he's probably into? If he does know what the internet is, which it's still very palpable. We don't know if that's a fact or not yet. But if he is, I can guarantee that, you know how when you look at your YouTube history and then it's just all these lectures from the, you know, like Yale University, I bet you his would just be like specifically about gaining muscle on your calves.
Don't skip legs is like the only poster he has on his room. Just like, don't skip your leg day.
Like how you have SpongeBob SquarePants as pillow sheets when you're a kid, or in my case currently. Instead of that he just has Puma. Yeah, that's so depressing.
Well, now that you've mentioned vegans, I must say something. I recently went to an all-vegan burger joint.
Mm.
known as...
Where was it?
Newtown. Known as Soul Burger. Actually,
oh, yeah.
Fuck all the competition. Karachi is where it's at. 85 King Street, coming for the best curry ever. But like,
Soul, I don't know. That Japanese restaurant next to you that's run by a Korean man seems like it would just be pretty authentic.
Like every Japanese restaurant. You know that Korean man walks up to... He's got this competition streak within him. So every day he pretends his kid wants to come and see the parking meter, which is right across the restaurant. But what he's trying to do is just seeing who's inside and how many people are in there. And you know what? So he started off with a smile on his face because, like, our restaurant would be empty and he would have two people and he'd be happy about that. But the tide's changing, man. We're getting customers and he's still the same.
It's because, like, when you look at the pictures of the ramen that he's advertising out the front, it looks about on par with kebab shop pictures. But you expect kebab shop pictures to look so much worse than the real thing. But, like, how hard could it be to take a picture of ramen?
Dude,
I mean, even Maggi 2-Minute Noodles looks delicious on the packet. His doesn't.
And the funniest thing about that is, I know why it's shitty, because we started putting up a board outside our restaurant, and on that board, I'd normally just, like, write down some bullshit, not, like, it's got nothing to do with the restaurant. It's just, like, so normal, I'd put
something
in,
like, Gandhi.
Something about, like, not even Gandhi, dude. Like, it's, like, I try. So, one of the things, like, after the North Korean nuclear summit, I just put up, thank God the Koreas are at peace, but our curry is still the bomb. Like, it's just, you know, shit like that.
That's the kind of stuff that Newtown loves. It's relevant and sort of witty.
Yeah, sort of, which I come up in like 2 seconds. So we would put that up, and like obviously a lot of people would come in, and they wouldn't come into the restaurant, but they would take pictures with that board. So that Korean Japanese man got like, oh shit, this is the way the restaurant biz is now working. So he put up a massive board outside of his restaurant that has a ramen picture now. Because
holy shit. He's Plankton from SpongeBob SquarePants. Yeah, he owns the Chum Bucket and you own the Krusty Krab.
it's hilarious how like he thought that that's... I was like, dude, I'm just putting up like bullshit comments. Anyways, the point was I had a vegan beef burger at Soul Burger, and I have to give... They know how to... Because I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah, it's gotten to that stage.
It's like so accurate, and for one... It's kind of lame that if you're a vegan, you still want to have that beef taste. I mean, just like there's a come to Karachi, we'll give you some non-meat resembling delicious vegan food.
I don't know. I don't understand their... maybe it's not even aimed at them, though. Maybe it's just aimed at people that go in there. Do they advertise it as, can you tell the difference?
Well... They should, because you can't tell the difference. Yeah. So it was on point. But having said that,
I can't believe it's not beef as well. Yeah, not beef.
But can you imagine how processed that shit would be to make it taste the way it does taste?
Heaps processed? Is that where we're going here?
Nah, it's just beef. Imagine if like some person was just giving beef and saying, vegan beef, it tastes just like
the
beef.
Look, that's probably what Soul Burger is doing, and good on them for doing
yeah,
so.
Yeah, and I bet like vegans wouldn't care, because I don't think they care about like actually eating it as long as they feel that they aren't eating it.
Yeah, that'd be the take home.
In fact, one of the most recommended segments that I shall not deal with is talk about veganism and why it's important, or why you guys are still killers.
Yeah, this is we were talking about this on the ride back from Wollongong, Torbs and I. That's doing veganism a real detriment, is the people who are vegans.
Wait,
it's the same as Greens voters. It's like the worst thing about them is their constituency. Like, their policies are fine, but like as soon as you see them, you're like, no, you are not representing me. I would rather Pauline Hanson in lieu of you.
as a communist man who's got extreme left-wing policy recommendations, as soon as I see a greenie, all I have to say is, build that wall, build that wall.
I know. Because they're so defensive and aggressive at the same time and have no muscle mass to back it up.
Yeah,
which is such a contradiction of a human being. But that's the problem with veganism. It's clearly ethically right, but they're doing themselves a disservice by being so fanatical about it. Whereas, like, this is what you need to understand, people from the Greens and people from that are into veganism. It's like, if you're able to reduce meat consumption by 20%, that is better than shrieking about people eating eggs. You know, like, you go for
pick your battles.
Pick your battles first off. Second off, understand that you're not going to, by like walking into restaurants and being like, meat is murder. You're not convincing anyone that way. The way that you convince people is to be like, it's so healthy, it's so nutritious. That's why all the trendy chicks in Bondi now that are wearing Lorna Jane are vegan. Because it's trendy to do that. They made it cool. It's the same thing why Donald Trump got elected. It's because he made himself a... He just kept saying he was a boss.
Yeah.
He was just really positive about himself.
Just like, he was convinced that he... That's the first step to being a boss. You need to be convinced that you're the boss. But, you know, actually, I had this... I was having this conversation at work surrounded by vegans. And I was recommending that we get rid of, like, beef. And I, as much as a man who loves eating beef, I realize the importance of getting rid of those cows. Not for ethical purposes, mind you, but just for, like, methane reduction.
No, don't say that to me. I've fought vegans very hard on this issue.
Wait,
I'm still of the opinion that cows are potentially very good for the environment. But it just depends where they're put, because it's just look, we'll skip through all the science. You can look at my YouTube channel if you want for that. But the main takeaway point is that herbivorous creatures have been evolved over 300 million years, before the dinosaurs even, to eat grasslands and maintain grasslands and spread them further, right? Yeah. So a cow, if it's consistently moving across and eating and then shitting and then aerating the soil with its hooves, it's actually doing the environment a service. There's some grasslands that have evolved not to have hooved animals on them, but the vast majority of them have. It's just that the fact is that people farm them now and they just keep them in the same lot. Yeah. So then they just sit there and mostly eat corn and fart. And
well,
they're not being moved on.
The sheer number of cows exist because of meat consumption, right?
Yeah.
And they're all, yeah, true. It would have been way better if they were on just farm, like, you know, grasslands. It makes the soil fertile. There's a reason why we're living on this beautiful green planet or blue planet. It's evolved over millions of years, and a lot of it has to do with the sort of species that have evolved with time. But the problem with cows in particular is that you can perform that same function with other animals too.
Yeah.
Even like, you know, like the reason why like we've got amazing grasslands is because of like, you know, hundreds of thousands of hippos in just one location, right? Mm. I mean, that's not bad at all. But like cows in particular, dude, their farts are pretty bad for the environment. Like, that's all it boils down to. We can keep them as like wild creatures because the numbers wouldn't like go overboard. But if we keep eating them, it's gonna be shit. I mean, obviously, carbon emissions by factories are way worse.
This is the problem that they don't talk about, is that aerated soil traps 15 times more methane than cows expel. So you could actually use cows. And that's what I'm saying to vegans all the time, where they just go, you should be saying that people shouldn't be eating meat. And it's like, mad. You convince 10 people. You have to change the way that agriculture works. People are still going to keep eating meat. Sorry that the world doesn't placate exactly to how you want it to be. It's just the farming practice is the way that it is, right? And all you can say to farmers is just like, look, how about you just move them from this paddock to this paddock? And even then, they're just like, this is outrageous, this is Nazi Germany. You know, asking them to move them a little bit.
But you know what we could do? Why don't we just take like a play from the Republican playbook, which is just like, make shit up. You know, like if we, if all of a sudden, like that's what I'm saying, like if all of a sudden we just said, oh, there's the mad cow disease is in every cow now, I bet most people would like refrain from eating a ribeye steak. If we could just like fake an epidemic.
Yeah, but it only lasts a few months and then everyone would get bored of it. It's the same as like when it's the same as condoms.
Yeah, yeah, and especially like if you've got the third one. I remember my uncle, who by the way is a fucking doctor, that idiot. When the news of bird flu spread, like our household stopped having chicken, which made me really sad. And then I was talking to my doctor uncle, who was saying, "Oh nah, I just stocked that shit up in my freezer." I was like, "Why?" Because like chickens have never been cheaper.
Wait, hang on. Are you saying that he's an idiot or a genius?
Well, it depends on how you look at it.
Yeah.
Well, he's
stupid like a fox, eh?
But you know what? He is kind of a genius in a way that most people are afraid of the chicken. But if you cook it at a certain temperature, the flu's going to die.
Yeah, but it'd just be boiled chicken every time, right?
Or deep fried chicken.
I do like that.
And who doesn't? Who wants to have raw chicken anyways? It's not like beef where you can have raw.
You can.
Oh, we've got another visitor here. Hopefully it's not the salesman. So we'll be right back. All right, so this was a clear case of KNR, which is knock and run.
Really?
Yeah, that's a thing.
It was a prank.
Well, I don't know, because someone knocked and when I went there, there was no one there.
It could just be an invisible man.
How did I discount this obvious reality?
Yeah, you're
Look,
have you ever heard the expression that the most rational explanation is probably the right one?
Wait, who the fuck says that?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I bet it's like from a thriller movie.
It's from The Simpsons. like everything.
Yeah, everything was first. So, wait, should we move? So, veganism, that's been taken care of. Fuck vegans. Veganism is mad. Actually, that's Jordan's opinion. My opinion is, you can't get rid of chickens, man. It's extremely important. It's like I need. Okay, this is what I can accept.
That's pretty much the only thing that meat eaters can ever say to vegans. That's their only comeback. Yeah, but it tasty.
Yeah, it tasty. But okay, so this is I will. I can agree to living in an authoritarian world where I'm forced to have meat only twice a week.
Right.
And I can learn to accept that reality. But anything lower than that, I will launch a revolution for a whole host of other reasons. Like, we need to take back our government. Where's my baby back ribs? Dude, meat and food is such an important aspect of my life.
Oh, no, this is the classic dilemma that people from Newtown have to deal with when talking about meat, which is shaming people for eating meat until that guy is, like, Pakistani, for instance. And then they have to wonder if they hate him eating meat more or they want to respect his culture. I don't know.
Wait, what's so exclusive about that culture? Every culture eats meat.
I mean, all of those.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Yeah, that's why you're full of shit. That's why I hate you, cunt. No, but like, whatever, man.
The thing is,
like, so many people. And if you're listening, Gabe, who's basically like one of the pod listeners who also works at Dan's,
he'd be a vegan for sure.
Man, he is.
Someone
such
called
a big
Gabe
vegan.
Either is a vegan or gets heaps of pussy.
He doesn't get pussy anymore because he's got one stable pussy that he married when he was he's a married man.
How old is he?
22.
Jesus, what a Christian.
He is. You know what he
is? He?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to shit on Gabe because like he's my mate. But
yeah, well, I don't know who Gabe is.
So. You know, you can continue to do what you want. But the only thing that like and now he's learned it because every time he starts talking about and he's also an evangelical vegan. So he's not only a vegan himself, but he wants to turn everyone around him into a vegan.
He's choosing the wrong religion. Christians aren't quintessentially vegans. He should have been a Hare Krishna.
Dude, it's like it's. But no, he's
walked down King Street beating a drum with a shaved head. That's what King Street was designed for. We need more of that.
And you know, these days he's like extremely concerned about me. I can see it on his face because you know, like if you've been listening to the pod for a very long time, you know, I've said this heaps that I wish I could be a left-wing version of Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's a dream.
It's a dream. Because, like, and I don't particularly like Steve Bannon's policies, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, a guy...
I like Steve Bannon.
I kind of like Steve Bannon. Me too. And I like his career. Is in the sense that he worked in the media, then he started making movies, but movies not for, like, you know, money, for, like, putting out his agenda, which in his case was, like, the white race is dying, and my case would be the right white race needs to die. No, in my case, it would be, like, you know, workers' rights and shit, right? So he, and then eventually becoming, like, a political advisor rather than running for the president. So I like his...
Trajectory,
and I also like the way he thinks. You know, like, for instance, like, someone would be asking him, saying, like, you know, Trump won because of misogyny, and him saying things like, oh, he didn't win because of misogyny, he won because the cheapest car brand in the market isn't affordable for about 50% of the households.
Mm.
So you go, like, yeah, I like the way this guy thinks, but then his conclusion is, build that wall. And mine is not
that's pretty indisputable.
So his conclusions might not be something I agree with. So he's extremely concerned about me because he thinks I'm becoming a Bannon-esque man. But
okay, well, anyway, the point is, Gabe, how about we just discredit that opinion entirely?
Yeah, and
say the same thing that Ray Hadley would say in that situation. Settle down.
So the main topic of the pod, which we should have started with.
No, it's exactly right on time. 41 minutes.
41 minutes.
A nice brisk 19 minutes of chat, followed by, oh, we're out of time. What do you know?
So we're gonna be talking about the Longman by election. So if you're a Longman constituent, first of all,
where is Longman?
So this is the point. So you've actually, the entire pod audience knows about Longman because. So Longman is North Brisbane in on your way to Sunshine Coast.
Yes, okay.
And
sorry,
that's
keep
where
going.
I took my first LSD trip, and the whole
pod the best was, place you could have possibly taken.
Because when I was talking about it, I was saying like how fucked up that area was, and the only reason why I was there was because my cousin's wife's a doctor, and everyone in that entire electorate is some sort of a patient. the highest level of incest rate is in Caboolture.
Yeah, I mean, it's the perfect place to take LSD. It is the exact opposite of Mullumbimby.
Yeah. And you know what was the most interesting? So while driving up in that electorate from Brisbane to Sunshine Coast, in the midpoint, what I saw was a lot of cars parked. And I was like, there's no lookout here. Why are people parked here? And then I was told by my brother, this is exactly the midpoint between Brisbane and Sunshine Coast. And what's happening here is all of the women live in Sunshine Coast and all of the men move to Brisbane.
Why?
Because Sunshine Coast is a shithole and men want to move out, but women somehow want to stay. And what they're doing is either the women are handing over the kids to the men for the weekend or some shit, or the men are giving it back to the women, and they meet right at the center point. And that's why the demographics, if you go to Sunshine Coast, you'll notice one thing. A, most of the people that you see are women. On a side note, they're also hot.
Yeah, but that's Queensland.
Man, I thought like Queensland wasn't hot.
Brisbane's not repping.
Brisbane's not, right? But Sunshine Coast, for some reason... Yeah, dude, you see a lot
of... It's always the case. It's just the coast. Anyone along the coast, maybe it's that sea breeze, but everyone gets that nice sea captain tan.
Yeah, you can even see within Sydney, right? Like, if you go to Bondi, you would see some of the finest women that you've seen in this entire country.
Except for now in the West, there's a lot of leb chicks that look very similar to Kim Kardashian.
Nah, but that's only for... This is how they get you, man. It's only for a short frame of time.
We know the trick.
Once you go that, they just stop being Kim Kardashian. In fact, they become Kim Kardashian again, which is like their ass just gets too big.
Yeah. Yeah. Kim Kardashian present day as opposed to 2007. Yeah.
On the flip side, they can use that same bum to get dates off a tree by just knocking against it.
Yeah, that's true. And it's also, I think that they quit their job of working at a mobile phone service. So there's just way less exercise involved in their life now because they used to have to get up from behind that service desk to be like, yup, did you want the contract? And then fish a contract out of the drawer. that's all taken care of. Yeah. Now.
So that's all.
But anyway, that's all Sydney. About that's Longman. What's happening in Sydney.
so this is one of the most.
It's so good. Offensive demographics. For Jordan and Ali.
So the Longman is north of Brisbane. It is a very if I may use the word povo.
And so pov.
It's quite pov.
Hilariously pov.
Which is why the election over here matters.
Why?
Because, like, people actually... Dude, as if people in Wentworth, which is, like, the Bondi and, like, the rich electorate of Sydney, Malcolm Turnbull's from there, he... So, as if, like, whatever they decide matters. Like, you know, they're doing fine. Irrespective.
Mm.
Where whatever government comes in,
mm.
it's not like they're saying, you know, turn in your yachts. Yeah. Like, it's fine. But with areas like Caboolture, by the way, I've been to Caboolture, man, and it is. So one time, we were in Brisbane, and we need to score some Mary Jane. If you
in
don't,
Brisbane,
yeah, in Brisbane,
is that easy to do?
Well, we didn't. It's difficult to do anywhere where you don't know anyone, and my cousin just lives. He's like, I don't know what the fuck he did. So he didn't know anyone. So what we did was, but he was convinced that he wanted to smoke up. So we went to Caboolture, which is kind of like going to Mount Druitt, and just like asking random people if we can score some weed.
It's not the right demographic for that. That's Ice Town.
Yeah, exactly. We shall come to that later because that's one of the biggest issues of the election. So. I remember going out to like one dude who was just like clearly an ice addict, was just sitting there, and I was like, hey, do you know where I can get some marijuana? And he's like, are you a fucking copper? Are you a fucking copper? And I was like, holy shit. I was like, no, man. He's like, you're a fucking copper. And I was like, okay, going back. He's like, and then I went back, and they're like, okay, why don't we just like drive to Nimbin tomorrow morning? This is not working out. But that place was so scary. And that's why this election matters. Well, actually, this election doesn't matter because there'll be a federal election pretty soon.
But just to finish off that story, did you go to Nimbin the day after? And then when you walked out, did you not even have to pick any up because it just rains weed?
Yeah, it rains weed. And then we got conned again in Nimbin because we did manage to score some weed. And the weed was fine. It was great. Then my brother was saying that, hey, should we do some mushrooms? I was like, yeah, fine. But where are we going to get some mushrooms? So we're like, okay, why don't we just ask around? This is fucking Nimbin. This is where you get them from. And then eventually someone directed us to like this like sweet looking Aboriginal lady sitting in like a courtyard. It was like a stall at the Easter show. And we go up there. Mm,
pretty conspicuous.
And we asked her, do you have any mushrooms? And she's like, plenty. Like, okay, can we get like, and we didn't know like how many to get. So we're like, can we have for three? That was a requirement.
For three.
And then we got the mushrooms. Then we settled down. We went to like this nice spot. We chilled on a hill. We ate those mushrooms. And yeah, that was it. Like they were just mushrooms. Like you could get similar mushrooms.
Oh, okay. Well, it's just a miscommunique there.
No,
it was. So she thought you just want a porta belly.
Fuck off. As if that was. She knew exactly what we wanted.
Right.
If
okay.
that was
so
her defense.
She's just she's just Australian Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, she just conned us straight up.
You can't expect anything else from that. This is what I've learned over my years, is that hippies are the most selfish people on earth.
Yeah, all they care about is nature. Fuck them.
Yeah. I'm sick of them getting their way. Hippies have gone too far. They don't get Mullumbimby to themselves. We should bulldoze it to the ground. Not even waste an atomic bomb on them.
So Longman is quite low socioeconomic electorate. The current MP from there is Susan Lamb. Susan Lamb is a Labour parliamentarian. This has always been sort of a Liberal seat, and until 2007. But then, like, every Liberal candidate lost in 2007. That was just insane,
right?
So it was became Labour, and then again it became Liberal until 2016, where Susan Lamb, the Labour candidate, won. And she had to resign because she was a fucking traitor.
Citizenship.
Yeah, the citizenship. Like, she had her... she got it from, like, her dad, and she couldn't produce the marriage certificate. Because
fair's fair.
Yeah, fair is fair. It is kind of fair.
You knew the rules.
But you know what's interesting about that? What? When that citizenship thing was happening, my law professor... And I'm like a first semester, first year law student. And my professor was arguing that these guys won't be disqualified because of her own fucking logic of, like, this is how the court's going to interpret it. This is how high court will look at it. And I was just like, hey, miss, I don't know shit about this, but I'm pretty sure they're getting disqualified because it's pretty clear. Like, if there's even a hint that they are nationals of some other... Anyways... What I'm trying to say, I called it and I beat a law professor.
Wow.
And
Take that.
Yeah, take that. Take
Having said that, you're paying for the degree.
Yeah, I am paying for the degree.
And you know more than her.
Excuse me.
Because you knew that one thing.
Yeah, I knew that one thing. That's the only thing I knew.
What in your life, Ali?
But yeah, anyway, so she had to resign. And then, so obviously, if you resign, there'll be a by-election. And now they're touting this as if whoever wins this by-election will win the next elections.
What the hell?
Which is...
This isn't like some death dome rally.
No, but you know...
What is this like? Whoever wins one, wins them all.
No, but the Liberal Party is saying that, and they've got a particular reason to say this.
Why?
Because overall, the national polling suggests that Labour's coming in, right?
Yeah.
In this electorate... the polls suggest that Liberals might win by a narrow margin. So if they build that, the concept that whoever wins this will win, will become the next prime minister, even though it's got nothing to do with, like, the leaders of the party, then you create the perception that Liberal might win the next election. So maybe they'll help with their polling, right? So whereas Bill Shorten has just said that this election is not about me or Malcolm Turnbull, this election is about all of you, the people of Longman. This is exactly what he said.
Really not very epic, is it?
Yeah, really not very epic. And if I may suggest, I know Jordan has a different take on this, but I say, fuck Bill Shorten, bring in Albanese.
No, I think Bill Shorten's definitely the strongest leader they've ever had. And he should have led us in World War II.
Yeah, sure.
And it's a real shame because that John Curtin was there instead.
He wins the next elections. We'll have Prime Minister Bill Shorten. Basically, we'll have a beta male as a prime minister.
Doesn't have any gains at all.
Doesn't have
really weak calf muscles. Doesn't even own one Supreme shirt.
And then we'll win and we'll lose the elections after that. When can we have a run like Paul Keating and Hawke?
Yeah, and that's what Albo is. He's this generation's version of that, purely by the fact that I just referred to him as Albo. We've already discussed this in the podcast before, but if you have an Aussie nickname, you make that guy the head of your party. Everyone refers to Bill Shorten on the net is either Bill Shorten or, quote, Bill Shitten.
Yeah, that's not like a
it's
very...
It's the same logic that applied in high school. You know when you go back and you give nickname, you say nicknames to kids that were bullied at school, such as, like, oh, hey, Boof, how are you? And they're like, it's James now. I don't like being called Boof. That was a thing in the past. I was like, yeah, I know why you didn't like it, mate. Because it was pretty much more brutal than getting a swirly.
You know what?
You know, like if you have a negative nickname, that is because people don't like you.
Yeah, straight up. I mean, that's why you have a negative. But you know what? I don't trust Bill Shorten because quite recently I found out that his name's William.
He raped someone. Oh my God. What a ridiculous rumor that was that the Young Liberals tried to start.
Seriously?
Yes.
That he...
Yeah, they tried it. It just, like, obviously had no fucking grounds whatsoever. But still, like, you know, like, the Telegraph and stuff are just like, oh, well, you know, just saying, maybe it might have happened. Who knows?
Yeah, this is the same sort of rumor that was started for Hillary Clinton about Pizzagate, where she was running a pedophile ring from a pizza shop.
A pedophile herself, like, Lord of the Pedophiles.
Yeah, no, I don't like Bill because I found out recently his name is William, and then a bigger bombshell, I found out that all Bills are Williams.
Stop coming from Pakistan.
But fuck off.
What do you mean? How did you not know that?
Because why the fuck is Bill a William? That makes no sense whatsoever. Like, Bill should be Billy's, Billiams, but not Williams.
Billiams. What the fuck name is that?
It makes more sense than William. Well, then why aren't you Will? Why are you Bill?
I don't know. It's just that's the way that Australia pans out. We just do that. Like how we call Salt Harold Holt. That came from Cockney, so that mystery solved. But yeah. Bill still remains. Ooh, up there with Bigfoot.
Well, so I didn't know that, and that made me feel stupid, so I don't like Bill Shorten anymore.
And therefore, I'm not voting for Bill Shorten.
Jobs and growth.
Because he's a fake. His name's William.
His name's William.
Jobs
and growth.
Wait, what are they running on? What are the Liberals' campaign?
Yeah, so the Liberals are basically saying that they're going to start... So wait, let's first talk about the candidate. His name's Trevor Rutenberg.
That's a made up
and
name.
If you don't,
that doesn't exist.
That's what he looks like, Jordan. So
it's not made up. Then his name's definitely
his
Trevor
name's definitely
Rutenberg.
Trevor. And Trevor is Trevor initially joined the Royal Australian Air Force, which is as like a technician.
Ooh, brave heroes!
Brave heroes.
March on, Christian soldier.
You know, that actually, just quick side note, that reminds me, Bill Burr's recent rant was, you know what? Fuck the military. I can't say, like, as soon as you see a guy that's wearing something close to like an army pant, you've got to give him a standing ovation. I made this joke, and like so many bloggers were against me. So Conan goes like, okay, what was the joke? I'm just saying, like, you know the guy who flies the fighter jet and almost gets killed? Yeah, I say that guy's amazing. But the guy that points in the direction of where that fighter jet is supposed to fly off from? Really? A hero? And apparently he got killed for that. So anyway, so he was basically the guy who pointed to the direction.
Bless you. Bless you, proud boy. The forgotten character in Top Gun.
Yeah, and then he did something that was really noble. You have to give him this. He started working in coal and mining.
And, win after win. Yeah, what a remarkable man.
Wait, hold up. His doesn't end there.
No.
He becomes like, so he goes to like Chile and like Canada and like destroys the world for a bit. And then he comes back.
And, it's just Godzilla. Yeah. It's just a tiny Godzilla.
And then he does something really respectful, which is he becomes, basically starts working for the church.
Mm.
So he works for, what are those called? The Martin Luther section of
Latter-day
the
Saints?
Yes. That or, anyways, whatever the hell it's called. And so he does that. And his main thing is that he wants to bring jobs. So this is like his top priority.
Yeah, that's so left of field for a liberal candidate to say that. As well. I mean, he's changed the game here.
Which is bullshit.
Well,
and
let me guess his slogan: jobs, jobs, jobs.
Creative, a killer. And so he wants to upgrade the AKD softwood sawmill,
yep,
which will give at least 100 direct jobs. And like that's one of his main things. The other thing that he wants to do is like in repetition to like the Labour announcement of like supporting health facilities, he wants to better the ICE addiction rehab facility, which is actually good. I'll give him props for that. But and this is like his main criticism is like the Labour Party isn't focused on jobs. All they care about is handouts. And I will disprove that, Mr. Rutenberg. Because, look, I'm no fan of the Labour Party in general, but, like, that's an unfounded criticism. Because the Labour Party's main thing is that what they want to do is they want to, first of all, open up a health clinic in Bribie Island. I've been to Bribie Island as well. It's a place where they con you by saying you'll catch fish, but you never catch fish.
Right, yeah, I know those lakes. Those bullshit lakes.
So
yeah, and you see fishermen that are professional fishermen come back with empty nets.
Yeah. And they're only there for like marketing gimmicks.
Yeah.
They're like, they'll bring fish from Coles and then they'll put it in a bag and like, look, we caught this massive red snapper. And you go like, isn't this a saltwater fish?
All right. I've seen you've played fishy before.
But yeah, so they want, so the Labour Party wants to open up a health clinic in Bribie Island. They want to upgrade a chemotherapy wing within the Caboolture hospital facility. Bill Shorten said that he'll increase the staff at Centrelink. Because I never understood this one idea. If you want people to get off welfare, just make it extremely difficult for them to feed themselves. That's not how you do it, man. Like,
no, they do get off welfare and then they just start selling weed.
Yeah, they start selling weed, but where are you? We were looking for you all that time while I was trying to score weed there. So I guess that's fake news. That's not what's happening there.
Yeah, true. What are they doing then?
Nah, they're selling ice.
I suppose poor people just don't need to eat. Yeah. Maybe they're like snakes.
Yeah, an Indian yogi has convinced all of them that you can't survive without eating.
Is so, that true when they say that? Where they're like, I have not eaten since 75.
I don't know, man. Like,
well, you think it might be real?
I mean, they are very skinny, but... So
maybe they're just trees and they just need potting mix.
Yeah, they're just eating shit. So
yeah, that's still eating, though.
No, but the reason why I say that... So if you open up a clinic and a health facility in Caboolture, that's also jobs. Because I was recently looking at some of the statistics. You know what the biggest employer in Australia is? The health industry.
No, that actually could make sense. That does make sense. Yeah.
And so if possibly. You open up like an additional thing over there, you'll get a lot of people applying for jobs in those areas too. So it's not like you only need to have a sawmill to have jobs.
I don't know why they're so into that. Why are they so into advertising that they're going to pump money into the most environmentally destructive thing they can possibly pump money into?
Excuse me, why is sawmills destructive?
Why is that? Why is... rural areas vehemently against the environment? You know how like the rest of like Neats, for instance, just incomprehensibly hate SJWs? The rural version of that is hate is trees. They just really fucking hate trees.
It's the same reason why you hate veganism. It's not
Can
the
you
actual.
Not put words in my mouth. I've never said that once.
Well, no, hold up, because it's not the ideology itself that you hate, but it's the people that support that ideology, right? So, same reason for rural cunts. They're probably more dependent on trees than anyone else, but they hate the fact that all of Bob Brown's supporters have green hair. So they're like,
it is annoying. They've won me over.
So that's why they vote for Liberals. Anyway, that's my guess. So I'm just going to quickly read. So Longman by election. If you're from that electorate, first of all, kick ice. Not a good habit. And secondly,
kick ice.
secondly, vote for whoever you think is good, but it's clearly Susan Lamb, who I think is kind of hot.
I knew you were going to say that.
And that's reason enough for me to vote for her.
But it's always the same thing. When a politician is not horrendously ugly, they instantly become like a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, and plus I've got a thing for like powerful women. I mean,
yeah, it's, there's some real power behind Susan Land, the backbench.
Dude, she,
one of those voices that yells shame sometimes.
I predict if she wins this election, next election or the election after that, she's a front bencher.
Why?
She's hot, man.
Dude, that's not enough.
No.
Because I've seen a few hot chicks in the backbench. That the camera is always just wide enough to get a shot of her while someone is talking from the front bench. I don't know. It's almost as if politics isn't the same as being a newsreader for Channel 9.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna read out Susan Lamb's response to what will you do to help create more jobs in Longman, especially for young people. So just to get like an idea of what the election's about. We prioritize skilling workers by investing in apprenticeships and funding schools, TAFE, and universities. Labor's $17 million urgent care clinic in Bribie means more jobs in healthcare, cleaning, construction, and hospitality. In addition, my priority is getting the healthcare to people, helping young people get a good education, supporting more jobs. You know, buzzwords of all politicians, really. Labor will invest $10 million. She didn't say that. I said that. Labor will invest in $10 million in a new chemotherapy. Oh, that's the one that was called. Chemotherapy service in Caboolture Hospital. If elected,
fuck, this
I will
is Joe Rogan.
Fight for our community.
No, it all makes a lot of sense. And if you're not paying attention to this in the car with 100% of your consciousness, you may as well crash your car. You're not being very nice to us.
Yeah, and like, you know, I would fight for community for food, petrol, pay bills, and reversing cuts to penalty cut rates and stimulating wage growth. The only thing that I think that she probably should focus on, knowing that in area and like sort of being in Caboolture at like 2 a.m., you need to talk about law and order. I bet a lot of people are complaining about crimes and shit over there that you probably need to get
into. Now, isn't it a society of criminals? She's basically running for a seat in Escape from L.A.
Yeah, and
so it's probably a good idea that she's not talking about cops.
Yeah, and well, and like a brief snapshot of.
And how good is it that she's really, really honing in on healthcare? Of course, that'd like in a society of snakes, just walking in, being like, I like fell on a bullet. That's gonna be a big sell.
But that's probably like a good
thing. And that's why he's probably pumping into sawmills as well, so like the mafia can off its enemies easier.
Yeah. And I think healthcare is like extremely needed, because this is what my cousin's wife, who worked as a GP in that electorate for some time, was telling me. The health facilities, there's a health crisis in this, which is why she moved.
It's always a crisis, isn't it?
Yeah, there's all... Well, no, but like... Man, the amount of the psychological ward of Caboolture Hospital deserves more attention, even though she didn't work on it. But she was saying, like, she was the one who told me this is the incest capital of Australia.
Like, nothing psychologically unhealthy about that. Maybe just everyone's sister there is hot.
Yeah, bony crackheads.
Works for me.
Yeah, no, well, some of them I'm assuming are hot.
Some of those bony crackheads might be hot, but other ones need their head checked.
Yeah, there are rapists, they're bringing in drugs, and some, I assume, are hot. And so...
I wish he said that instead. That would have been so much more classically Donald Trump if instead of him saying, and some, I assume, are good people, if he said, and some, I assume, are total tits.
Hey, Latinos, you don't have to assume that.
There has to be.
There has to be. Anyway, so that was like, because we get a lot of complaints about talk about Aussie politics.
Well, you can't get any more Aussie than that, talking about some pissant seat that, go on, pop quiz, what was the name of the seat we were just talking about? you can't answer it, can you? Yeah. No, so give us money.
Brisk walk? Electric, strongman, electric, what? Batman?
Yeah, I reckon that's it. Yeah, everyone's got to go, Batman?
Batman?
Batman's a sheep.
Is that the only known scene?
Because it's fucking Batman.
Can we just name them all on like Marvel and DC comic superheroes? That way people can remember them?
True. And they would be wanting to more... It's exactly the same thing as that bank clerk talking to Bart going, I think that you'll find that... Filling out these forms is more exciting than a weekend with Batman. It is? I should have done this a long time ago. All right.
Well, yeah.
Anyway,
we're gonna.
If anything
to
we've learned is that Marvel sells. Yeah, we're getting out of here. But if you want exclusive access to a secondary podcast that we do, which is the same as this one, but except for hey, you have to pay money for it.
And also, you can just look at us visually. Wait, that was.
I wonder if anybody just like. So creepy if anybody goes, oh, sign me up for that.
Yeah, well, in the last patron exclusive video podcast, Jordan did flash his buttocks. So
did we get complaints about that, or was everyone like, more of that?
No, actually,
I thought that was his face.
One of the patrons, who her name's Boring Girl,
yeah,
was saying that I think she was like really happy that you flashed, but she was saying this is like against YouTube. I can't remember what she was saying. Like, she was making some joke about like YouTube terms
against
and conditions.
Code of ethics.
Yeah, against code of ethics, something like that. But I think what she basically means, flash
well, write
your
a complaint
dick.
Then, Boring Girl. Yeah, is that what it's translated as? Well, you know, like. If that's what they want.
Yeah, okay. So
I'm very into flashing.
Anyway, so if you want...
If I didn't go to jail for it, I would do it. It's probably a better thing that it is. There's laws against it.
Okay, so if you want exclusive video and bonus podcast content, become a patron. Please give us
If you're happy with
money.
Just this one, that's all right. Just give us money anyway.
Yeah, give us money anyways. Well, where are the... Come on, there's got to be like rich people listening to this.
I know there is.
Who's the rich person?
I know
person?
That there's some dude that like lives in Dubai there. No one lives in Dubai unless they're worth like $3 billion.
Yeah, exactly. Except from...
Just give us one of those bills.
Yeah, or unless you're a worker. Come on, that way you like...
No, they're millionaires.
They're millionaires.
Don't lie, Ali.
Yeah, they're working in like 50 degree heat, picking bricks. But anyways...
Always misdirecting the audience.
Please,
yeah. All right, anyway, we're getting out of here.
See ya, bye.